Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors, online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill, and to HighSpeedWeb.net for streaming our signal 24/7, 365. I think it's really appropriate that we have here on the day after Christmas 2019 a lady by the name of Bobby Comer, who runs everything over there at the York County Animal Control Center. And I'm just hoping you're going to tell me that a lot of people came in and said, we want to try to get a pet for our family for Christmas.
Last week we did some pretty decent adoptions. We had over 20 adoptions, so that was really good for us.
Good for you. Good for you. Well, tell everybody a little bit about Bobby Comer, if you would, please.
I'm the supervisor at York County Animal Control, which also oversees the shelter. Previously, I was a teacher in the Rock Hill School District, so I have had a lot of experience in serving our community.
And the rest of the story is that she was a very active volunteer.
Yes.
With all everything to do with pets.
Mm-hmm.
And when a vacancy occurred, they said, you know what? This lady needs to be on our team. And so here you are, right?
Yes. The difference is I just don't work for free anymore.
Oh, there you go. Well, one of the things that I think is particularly interesting is mm-hmm. that since you have been on board, which has been how long now? 3 years?
No, it's been, it seems like 3 years, huh? It's been about a year and a half.
The shelter, the York County Animal Control,
mm-hmm.
is now a no-kill shelter, correct?
Well, we have reached the status statistically of no-kill.
Okay.
I actually don't always refer to us as no-kill because it always depends on what comes in through the community, and that can change at any minute. However, statistically, we have met the standards to be referred to.
And those standards in general are what?
It basically, there are two different sets of standards. One standard goes by if at least 90% of your animals make it out of the shelter live, then you meet the qualification of no kill, which ours do. And the other standard that others look at, other organizations look at, is if you are euthanizing only on the basis of medically necessary or animals that have significant behavioral issues. And that is also a standard we're currently meeting.
Oh, by gosh, you're a no kill shelter then, right? Makes sense to me. All right. So with that being said, gee whiz, how do you begin this? The day-to-day operations
yes.
of your county animal control consist of what?
There's two facets to that. Part of it is the service to the community out in the field, where our animal control officers are constantly investigating different complaints we have, whether it is regarding neglect or possible abuse, and also picking up stray animals that are out in the community that may have been lost from their home. The second component is in the shelter. So once the animals come in, we also have a shelter where we care for those animals. Once they're in there, we assess them behaviorally, medically, make sure all their needs are met, and then we hopefully reunite them. So we do a lot of marketing on that aspect to try to get their pictures out there and let people know we have found animals. And if not, then we work towards finding them a forever home.
So in the course of an average day or a week, how many animals are the control officers bringing in?
It depends on the season. Right now is a little bit lower season for strays. So we have about 300 animals we'll have this month that come in. That's still quite hefty. During the summer, we can get up to 500 to 600 in a month.
Whoa.
So we're on target right now to hit approximately 4,000 animals we will have served in our shelter this year.
Wow, 2019, 4,000, that's a bunch.
That is.
So of those 4,000, you're saying that you have placed?
We place, approximately 95% of those animals exit the shelter in either rescues or homes.
That's remarkable. How do you go about doing that? I mean, that's a lot of animals.
A lot of teamwork.
All right, explain.
Well, part of it is we have some phenomenal officers that work in our field, and the first thing we put in place is that animals no longer are with the intention of bringing them into the shelter. Instead, when they make contact with an animal that's running stray, their first intention from the second they lay eyes on it is to try to find its home. So they all have microchip scanners in the field. So we immediately try to reunite them so that animal never has to come into the shelter.
And what percentage would you say of the animals are chipped?
We probably have about 25% that are chipped that we find out in the field. However, leaving the shelter, it is 100%. State law requires that we chip all animals leaving the shelter.
So if the animal is not chipped, the officer does what?
If it's not chipped, the animal comes into the shelter. And we intake it. We provide it with vaccinations immediately. We provided a safe space. We don't immediately assess because most animals are pretty timid when they first walk through the door and scared as we all would be.
Sure.
And so we find them a cozy space, let them get comfortable, and then we immediately go into the marketing aspect. They're posted on petharbor.com, which is a site that anyone can access on the web. We also try to post intermittently throughout the week on Facebook to try to reach even more people through social media. And we let people know where they were found and hopefully reach families. And those posts get shared considerably a lot.
Do you get a lot of calls from people who might have said, I've lost my dog, it just got out of the neighborhood, have you seen it?
Yes, we do. And we also have a bulletin board we keep at the shelter. So anyone that's lost anyone can put up flyers. They also can post through the Pet Harbor website. Whenever they have a citizen has found or lost an animal, they can post on there also.
So do you let that process have a certain amount of time before you actively go out and market an animal?
Well, to find the owner, we mark it immediately.
Right.
As soon as it comes through the shelter, it automatically, we take a picture as part of that process, and it immediately goes up on the website so that we can find those owners as soon as possible. We don't want an animal have to stay in a place that they're unfamiliar with and that they're scared in any more than necessary.
Sure.
But as far as marketing it to a next home, if no one comes forward, the legal stray hold in South Carolina is 5 business days, so we respect that.
So for 5 days, you work strictly in trying to find the new owner. I mean,
yes.
the existing owner.
Yes.
After that, you're putting it out there for everybody.
Well, we assess it behaviorally and medically.
Okay.
So if it passes both assessments, we put it up for adoption to the community. If the animal has some additional needs, mm-hmm. such as medical concerns that can be exorbitant, one example of that is heartworm. A preventative that is a necessity, especially in our state. 80 to 90% of the animals that come through the door in the animal shelter are heartworm positive. And this is a really simple preventative that can be given monthly, or you can get it on a 6-month increments from your vet. But you can either take a chewy tablet or you can get a shot. But if you don't give your animal that, there is a high likelihood that that animal is going to develop heartworm, and that treatment is very, very expensive. So any animals that come in heartworm positive, we are seeking a rescue for. And our volunteers also go into action immediately. We have a whole set of volunteers that work to raise sponsorship money through the community to assist the rescues with paying for treatment.
Yeah, if you've never seen a heartworm, you'll be shocked. I mean, it's
really
huge.
Sad. Yes.
Yeah. All right, so you have a high percentage mm-hmm. of the animals that come in
yes.
that have the heartworm. Does that apply as well to cats, or is it just dogs?
No, it's usually dogs. It's very rare for a cat to have heartworm.
All right, okay. And that's, I guess, because the dog's nose is always in the grass, and he's always sniffing.
Those mosquitoes bite them, and that's where they get it from.
That's where they get it from. So when you go to place the animals, you're mm-hmm. using a couple of different websites.
Yes.
And
Facebook, social media, we're all over there. Yeah.
Do you find a circumstance arising when you will have placed a pet
mm-hmm.
after that 5-day window, and then the owner comes screaming in, oh, if you've got my pet, you've already placed it with somebody else.
Sadly, that's maybe only happened once since I've been there. And
what do you do then?
Legally, the animal has served a certain stray hold, and we have marketed it in all aspects. I personally try to reach out to the new owner to see if they're willing, but if not, legally, they have served their stray hold. So we have to respect that legally. Yes. Yes. Touchy situation. Not all aspects of this job are very easy.
So you have a new, when I say a new, your animal control facility right there outside of York. Mm-hmm. Has been open now for how long?
Ten years? Longer than that. It was built around 2003, 2004, and I believe opened in 2005.
And you can handle how many pets in there at any one given time?
So we have approximately 215 kennels. Most of those are cat kennels. There's 72 dog kennels. So if you average in the high season, 100 to 150 dogs a week, it can be a little bit tough. So we have a pretty resourceful staff, and we often reach out to fosters to try to help us out and hold some different animals for us. Sometimes the community will do an active stray hold for us, and we'll market the pictures while they're holding the animal. We get quite resourceful to try to figure out how to save these babies.
But you got quite a network.
Yes, we have grown quite a network. We have an amazing community and amazing staff. And our volunteers are not too shabby either.
And if you did not have that network, you would really be up the creek, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, the animals would, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yeah, so they work overtime for them.
The main issue in York County is the big G word called growth.
Yes.
We got more people in this county than we ever have before, and I would imagine that has bumped up the volume of pets that you're...
Yes, a lot of these homes have pets, yes.
And your officers are bringing in more pets than ever?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So have you reached a point where, because of your location, mm-hmm. which is way up there towards York, and most of the population is in the other direction...
This is true.
...that you're talking about some kind of a... What would I call it? Eastern York County Animal Control Facility?
We actually are in the beginning stages of assessing this. We did present to council last year the possibility of having a satellite adoption center, possibly in that Fort Mill, Tiga K area where the population is much heavier, to try to help us move some of these animals into homes and have access to more of the community. The council was extremely supportive of that, and so we are currently actively looking for a smaller location just for adoption.
Just strictly for adoption?
Yes.
So how would that work? I mean, if you found the right place... When you say strictly for adoption, what would happen?
We would hope to have a kennel size of what I'm optimally looking for is that one that would hold 6 to 10 dogs and maybe 10 cats. And weekly, we would have animals placed up there and staff that would facilitate and help with adoption.
And is there a possibility that you could do this by working with an existing agency that might be out there?
As far as?
Through their adoptions.
Their adoption center? Well, we're a different entity than Humane Society is a nonprofit, and they already have theirs. So right. We don't want to infringe on their space. Right. We would definitely need a separate space.
I'm just thinking about if you work together. Since the Humane Society already has one.
And they're overflowing, too.
Yeah, I know they're overflowing. I hear her every week on the radio. Yeah, I got that.
Yes, the more the merrier. We definitely need more space between the two of us.
So give me a status report in terms of finding a facility. Have you found anything?
I have a lot of feelers out there. The main thing, because it's growing so rapidly, we are looking for something that's zoned appropriately to hold kennels and animals overnight, and that has been the struggle for us, is finding that location.
Mm. Yeah, I bet that is a bit tricky, isn't it?
Yes.
No, many people don't want a bunch of dogs barking in their backyard, correct? Yeah, I got you. All right, we're going to go ahead and take our day. Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. And, of course, our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. Find out more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. All right, this is the first day after Christmas. Everybody's kind of fat, dumb, and happy. But we know everybody's smart. And when they're hungry, well, there goes that. fresh substance salad 7 days a week at Substation 2. How do we do it, everybody? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Hey, Manning, I hear the gyros are back at Substation 2.
That's right, Alex, and they are great. They're made to order, served hot, on warm, soft pita bread with creamy tzatziki sauce, onion, and tomato. And I can't wait to get one.
Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Good Pharmacy, building trust for four generations.
This is pharmacist Kia Hicklin. Enjoy our spacious new modern look and take advantage of Rock Hill's original drive-thru with pickup and drop-off service.
My mom loves Good Pharmacy.
Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue, Rock Hill.
Gold Hill Emergency Department is opening soon in Fort Mill. This is Michelle Walk, Emergency Department Director at Piedmont Medical Center. This January, Piedmont Medical Center will open the area's first standalone emergency room. Open 24/7, 365, the Gold Hill ED location will offer the same services as a hospital-based emergency room. There are 12 treatment spaces where our team of emergency medical professionals will be ready to treat any medical condition or injury you or your family need when it matters most. Visit goldhiller.com to learn more.
There are very few genuine money managers in America, and one just happens to be your neighbor. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see what a money manager can do for you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or go online to andersongriggs.com.
Now available from Founders Federal Credit Union, Dividend AMP. Dividend AMP is the easiest way to fund Founders Loyalty Select, our highest yield savings account. Enroll in Dividend AMP today, and the dividends from your eligible interest-bearing accounts may qualify for Dividend AMP transfers. Log into Founders Online to enroll today. Relax, we're helping you amp up your savings. Account restrictions apply, federally insured by NCUA.
Nicole Thompson, assistant principal at Griggs Road Elementary School in Clover.
The connectivity program, it's more than just academics. It became helping them to feel part of a school system, have a voice in their building and inside of their classrooms, but it also provided us an opportunity to really get to know families one-on-one. Technology is a gateway for students to really see their potential and what 21st century learning is all about and to be ready. Luckily, Comporium was willing to get on board, helping us to educate our students.
Hear the full story at humantech.comporium.com. Here's an idea from Substation 2 for your next business meeting.
Box lunches are perfect for your corporate outings. We include a 6-inch sandwich we put in a side. You get chips, potato salad, macaroni salad. We throw in a cookie. You get some tea or lemonade with that. It's basically a complete meal in a box.
Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Bobby Comer is with us. She is the supervisor of York County Animal Control. And like everything else in York County, it's growing, it's growing, it's growing. The summertime statistics blow you away. 600 pets being brought in on a monthly basis.
Yeah, that's our peak. That's our peak. Yeah,
I got that. So now you're placing 95% of these pets.
Yes.
Surely they're not all being placed here in York County.
No. The majority of them, because they come in with heartworm or emaciated or needing additional care, some even behavioral, that is significant but maybe needs a little work, we wouldn't safely place those immediate into adoption. So we depend on our rescue network very heavily.
So tell me how that works now. I think most people can go online and they can find a rescue network for just about any breed of dog. Is that about right?
Yes, but usually they're just as full as us. So it requires a lot of partnerships and relationships with them. Each shelter has a group of rescues that normally will partner with that shelter, and they do what they pull the animals out is what it's called, animals that they see that are in high need. And ours ranges, we've had animals pulled as far south as Florida. In fact, I was just contacted over the weekend from someone that had seen the marketing that we do for our animals, and she is interested in bringing a couple of ours into a special prison-based program for training down there. So that should be interesting. And then we've went as far north as New Hampshire. In fact, I even had one last year go to Canada.
No kidding. So how does the pet get transferred from here to Canada or from here to Florida or wherever?
There's two different ways that they might go. One, our Canadian one was actually a local volunteer transported that doggy all the way up to New York. Oh, wow. And then the rescue met at the border. So a lot of it is amazing volunteers that are willing to sacrifice their time to save these animals' lives. The other part is there's actually businesses that do transport. So they pick up at different shelters because we have such an overpopulation or growth issue in the South. And then they transport them to various places, usually up the East Coast, where they don't have that issue further up north.
And I know that there is a community of pilots that actually fly.
Yes, we had a couple leave that way.
Yeah.
Yes, a couple of our little elderly ones left that way.
You don't want to put a cat in an airplane, but a dog would
yes,
be just
no,
fine.
Just it was a couple dogs, yes. So
very, I mean that's really interesting. So now you're able to place your dogs through this network. Mm-hmm. But are you also pulling some in to reciprocate from some of these other places?
No, we do not. Because of the growth in this community, we honestly cannot afford to pull any animals in from anywhere else.
Isn't that something?
Yes, they're just...
So if somebody came to you, let's say they wanted a collie, mm-hmm. and you had no collies in your whatever, your network here.
We would find a rescue or a place that specialized in them, recommend that them go look through
okay,
there.
Okay, so you put them in touch with each other.
Yes,
all right.
Yes.
All right. Okay, one of the things that I know you have been active in, not only when you were a volunteer, but also as the supervisor, you do fundraisers, awareness programs mm-hmm. for the shelter. Mm-hmm. Tell me about what's coming up.
There is actually a local business that has offered to do a fundraiser to benefit the animals of York County. So Tattooed Bruce is going to be doing a fundraiser on January 14th. They will be taking donations all day, but we will arrive there. Our volunteer group, Friends of York County Animal Shelter, is going to be heading that up with them. But we will also, if the weather permits, bring some little doggies on site to be adopted.
I was going to say, that's a wonderful way to get dogs
yes.
placed.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that done different places.
Yes.
You'll bring out 4, 5, 6 dogs, mm-hmm. and they've got handlers there. And when you get into a crowd and people see these dogs, oh, I'd like to have that dog. Can I take
yeah.
that dog? Oh, yeah, you can. You can
and those doggies come out of their shell. They're so happy. Yes.
And all of your dogs, mm-hmm. before they are placed, they're spayed. And neutered?
Spayed and neutered have to be. That is one of the main issues we see in our county is the need for spay and neuter. The overpopulation and the growth of animals, we just don't have space to keep up with it.
Right.
There is a local spay neuter coalition now that our volunteer group is part of and other rescues in the community. If anyone is looking for help with spay and neuter or free spay and neuter, they can contact 980-3647, and that's the spay neuter coalition, and that helps tremendously.
And that number again is
980-3647.
3647.
You can easily remember it as 980 dogs. I don't always say that though, because it applies to the kitties too. They help with the TNR program
right.
for the community cats in the area also.
Well, you're making a huge mistake if you don't get your pet
you
spayed
are right.
and neutered. Unless you are into raising, you know, whatever. If you have a purebred animal and you want to get into breeding and selling and all that kind of stuff.
But you'd be amazed at how many of those you can find in rescues now.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All the pedigrees. And
yes, we have all kinds of them in rescues. So always check first and see if you can adopt first.
So would it be an overstatement to say that if somebody is interested in finding a pet, mm-hmm. and they can't find it online through whatever you offer or other websites, they could contact you, and you might say, well, let me check on this for you, or you check on
we'd
that.
Give them, we'd say, oh, there's a, for example, if they wanted a golden retriever, we'd say, oh, there's a local golden retriever rescue in Charlotte. Why, you can contact them. This is their name, and reach out to them.
Okay. And you have those kinds of contacts for a lot of different breeds of dogs.
Yes, yes.
It's amazing. All right. So what else is coming up? What else is going on?
We also have our orientation coming up, and that is going to be January 9th at 4 p.m. It's a Thursday.
Now, explain to everybody what the orientation is all about.
The orientation is for volunteers. If you are interested in volunteering in any capacity, you want to be a foster, you want to do daycations for dogs, some doggy day outs, you want to help with events, or the best of all, you want to come into the shelter and work with our little kitties and doggies, the first step is to come to an orientation, and we go over all the guidelines and kind of let you know what you're getting in for.
Isn't that something? You have an active volunteer network of how many, would you say?
There is probably around 50 active volunteers right now.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
50?
Yeah.
All ages?
All ages. Well, they start at 18.
Okay.
So 18 and up.
So does a volunteer get to kind of choose what they would want to do?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, they're volunteers.
They don't have assigned duties, in other
words. No, no. The more the merrier.
Yeah. But run through that list of duties that you have volunteers doing.
So they can come in and do socialization. To me, that's one of the most important things.
Which means what?
So it looks a little bit different between cats and dogs. Cats, they come in, they handle them, play with them, put them in groups in the cat rooms. Dogs, it's a lot of walking and getting them out to get their exercise outside.
Right. What are the duties besides socialization?
Well, they can help clean. They can do events. They can foster. We have what's called Doggy Day Out, where they can take a dog just for a weekend and showcase it, take it to the park. We have little Adopt Me little bandanas they can put on and harnesses. They can take it even up to Charlotte to showcase it.
I was going to say, aren't there a number of different venues where you can take a handful of your dogs out to a come see me type of event, or, you know, whatever the event's going on in town,
mm-hmm.
where you can say, look, these are available.
Yes, and our volunteers do an amazing job with that.
So you leave it up to the volunteers to do that?
Yeah, if they contact us, I will coordinate it, but a lot of times the volunteers are the ones, that's whose hands we need, and so they, a lot of times, will go through them, and they'll coordinate the bigger events like the parades or the festivals.
So if somebody comes up to one of your volunteers at this event, and say, I want that dog right there. Can you do the paperwork and everything right there to
yes,
do it?
Yes. We have a couple things we keep with us. We keep a database of different adopters, previous adopters, and then we also have contracts. So we do an adoption counseling to make sure it's a good fit, because we know each and every one of our animals really well, and we want to make sure it's a good fit for the family and a good fit for the dog or kitty.
So the volunteer going out
mm-hmm.
would know that kind of background on each of
yes.
these dogs.
Yes, absolutely.
And they could make it happen right there? I mean, they
yes.
could come back with one
mm-hmm.
less dog because yes. it went over there to Mrs. Jones's house.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any fee for that at all?
Just the regular adoption fee of $77.
Right.
And that is a steal when you consider what it covers.
Yeah, I bet. Spay and neutering, just one of them.
Spay and neuter, microchip, and
right.
the microchip registers itself now. We have set that up through the county. So within 48 hours, the microchip should automatically register to the adopter. They also have their initial vaccines and their rabies.
They're ready to go.
They are ready to go. Ready to snuggle.
All right, so here we go. We're about ready to get started with a new decade, mm-hmm. moving into 2020.
Yes.
Actually, it's the end of the existing decade. But what would you like to see happen during 2020 that you've been thinking about for a while?
I would love to see that satellite location. I think that's going to make all the difference for marketing our pets. I would also like to see us down the road. We are currently looking for a veterinarian on staff. Once we have a veterinarian, I would like to begin to offer community clinics, some spay and neuter clinics for those in our community, and also some rabies and microchip clinics.
Great. Well, Bobby, you've got a full plate, and again, these special events coming up on the 4th, that's a fundraiser, the 14th, rather, the fundraiser mm-hmm. down here at the Tattoo Brews, and then you have the orientation for the volunteers on the 9th.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. If they want more information,
what's
the website they go to?
The website they can go to is that if they go to yorkcountygov.com,
right.
and they click on Animal Control, and it takes them right to our avenue.
Her name is Bobby Comer. She is the supervisor of York County Animal Control, and we thank her for being on our program today. Of course, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Okay, one more time here. Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week prepared right before your eyes here at Substation 2. Thomas F. McDowell and Lucy are going to lead us in it. 1, 2, 3. How do we do it now?
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Thomas, we didn't hear much out of you, which is very unusual. Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.